ओम मंगलम गुरुदेवाय देवीमतिरिक्त मंगलम मंगलम भक्ता वृंदेव्यो सर्वलोकाय मंगलम ओम स्थापकाय च धर्मस्य सर्वधर्म स्वरूपिणे अवतार वरिष्ठाय रामकृष्णाय मंगलम। हा मई की जय श्री गुरु महाराज जी की जय। सो टुडे इज महानवमी, अ वेरी ऑस्पिशियस डे। महिषासुर हैज बीन किल्ड, इट्स आल्सो द एनिवर्सरी ऑफ द किलिंग ऑफ रावण, right? This is also, this 9-day battle is commemorates the ancient battle between Durga and Mahishasura, but also equally important battle between Ram and Ravana. Actually, many people have seen on this day also, some people make huge statues of Ravana, right? Very wonderful tradition. I've only seen it once, right? It was like a 50-foot statue of Ravana made of paper mache and all kinds of, filled with all kinds of flammable explosive things. And we spent for about 2-3 hours before sunset, we spent time shooting arrows at him, right? So, you know, being part of trying to do our part in the battle, right? This is up at Mount Madonna up in Northern California. And then at a certain point, as sun was going down, some young teenage boys with flaming spears began to dance around and through. And he went up, oh my goodness, hundreds of feet of flames. And then they knocked out some supports and he came crashing down. And the flames were probably the pile of wood that was burning, like almost the size of this room. And then people would take running jumps and jump through the flames. Right, it was quite something. I chose a small little section to jump over. Feeling that, you know, that Ravana represents these huge obstacles, all of our obstacles. But to be able to jump over is very satisfying. But dangerous. Many people got hurt that day. But that's supposed to be dangerous. It's not supposed to be symbolic. It's real, you know, it's a real battle. It's a very auspicious time. So we're finishing every year during Navaratri, we read from the Chandi. And on the ninth day, we finish the last two chapters. The main story has been, the main stories have been told. The three charitas, the story of killing of Madhu and Kaitaba, the killing of Mahishasura, and then the killing of Shumba, Nishumba, Chanda, Munda, Raktabija, Durmalochana, all these. We spent quite a bit, actually so many hours, actually, if we think about it, we've spent probably 15 hours talking about the Chandi already, and this week, giving a deeper spiritual interpretation of the process of our spiritual unfoldment, the process of sadhana that the Chandi explains or demonstrates. And it's given, we do Durga Puja, we mentioned the first night that this Durga Puja, the first rite of Durga Puja in the fall is called untimely awakening. We mentioned this the first, most people weren't here, so I'm mentioning it again. Because Durga sleeps during the fall and winter. She awakens during spring and summer, right? Then Mother Nature, because Durga is also the goddess of the mountains, she's Mother Nature, although Mother Nature wakes up. And so you do Durga Puja in the spring. This is Vashant Navaratri, right? But Lord Ram, as we were talking about this battle, he was in desperate, and he needed to fight Ravana. Right? He couldn't wait until spring, because Ravana had given Sita 1 year, right? If he doesn't come to her, then he would kill her, right? And 9 days remained, right? So that's what he did. He did the Durga Puja very at the improper time, because he needed to get the strains of Ma Durga to fight and kill Ravana and save Sita. And today, just in time, killed Sita. So this is why we celebrate during the fall. But also the yogis have said this is very significant to do it in the fall, because in the fall, we also begin to go to sleep. We begin to become a little lax in our life, right? We get lazy. I get lazy, right? Come Thanksgiving and you have, we have Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas in this country. These are eating, sleeping times, right? We get a little fat, we get a little lazy, we sleep, we start waking up early. Maybe we stop doing the sadhana we're supposed to do. We stop, you know, it's natural, actually nature also slow. We're also supposed to slow down. But we're not supposed to go to sleep. We're supposed to spend more time, in summer we spend more time working. In winter, as everything becomes internalized, you spend more time meditating. We're not so external, not sleeping, but it's also inside. But why we're going to sleep in lethargy takes place, however that's pronounced, we need to invoke Mahashakti, right? We need the strains to overcome, because as we go to sleep, as we read in these stories, so many things come up. Some lurking things that we haven't been paying attention to. Right? Things that in other times we're so busy, they don't even have time to wreak any havoc. Right? We all have problems, right? But if you're really busy, you don't have time for your problems. Right? We sometimes say here that we don't have time for Kalimanda, we don't have much time for personal problems. We have personal problems, but we haven't had time to focus on them in about 15 years. Right? They're waiting. Waiting for us, for everything to close, to be calm and quiet and everything to go well. Then, finally, tomorrow's there's no puja. Right? We can sleep and watch TV tomorrow, right? Right? What happens then? But that's when the things that we're not paying attention to, they also can come up, right? So we need this very important festival just at the right time. So last night we read the Narayani Stuti after the killing of Shumba and Ishumba, ego and its attachments, and it symbolically said. The gods pray with great humility, a very deep realization. They say, O Narayani, the goddess that exists in all beings, right? Exists in Nada, right? Exists in humans, right? That goddess also, Brahma says, oh, you are Brahmi, you are my power. Shiva says, you are Maheshwari, you are my power. Indra says, you are Aindri, you are my power. Right, realizing that everything, our ability to think, our ability even to say God doesn't exist, that's God's power. Right? That's the Shakti behind everything. That's the realization, right? And the fruit, so the story ends with that most humble realization, with these prayers, Sarva Mangala Mangalye, Shive Sarvata Sadike, you exist. You're the creator, sustainer, destroyer, you're eternal, you're the supreme rest of all those who are seeking refuge. To you, Supreme Goddess, we bow. So now we'll pick up the story at that point. There's a brief Dhyan Mantra on Mother Durga. Your beautiful hands, your beautiful body shine like lightning. You sit upon the shoulders of a lion, appearing very fierce. Many maidens holding double-edged swords stand ready to serve you. You hold in your hands disc, club, double-edged sword, shield, arrow, bow, net and a mudra joining thumb and pointer finger, with the other three fingers extended upward. Your nature is like fire, and you wear the moon as a crown. You, O three-eyed Mother Durga, we worship. Om. So at the end of this, the Divine Mother told the gods, ask a boon. And their boon was very beautiful. He says, O God, O Queen of all, destroy all disturbance in the three worlds and remove from us all hostilities. And then Devi says, I shall do this and I shall do more. Actually, she gives some predictions. In the future, again, these demons will come up. Right? We feel all revitalized for Navaratri. But by this time next year, again, we'll need to do Navaratri. Right? Again, the demons will come up. So I'll incarnate again and again. She incarnate again when Shumba and Nishumba are born again and again as Kamsa. She's born as Mahamaya, Krishna's sister, right? I'll be born as Brahmani, I'll be born as Shakambari, right? All these incarnations where she'll hate, whenever there's a struggle, the demons come up, I shall embody myself to destroy them and to protect my devotees. Krishna says same in Gita, right? In every age I'm born, right? Same principle. So now she's now continuing. This section is called the Palstuti. She's now saying the benefits of hearing this story. She's talking to the gods and talking to us. The goddess spoke. Whoever will praise me with these hymns, with a concentrated mind. These hymns are Chakradi Stuti, Brahma Stuti, Narayani Stuti, Aparajita Stuti, the four main hymns of the Chandi. Whoever will praise me with these hymns, with a concentrated mind, without a doubt, I will, without a doubt, put an end to his or her every difficulty. Those who shall recite the story of the destruction of the demon Madhu and Kaitaba and the killing of the demons Mahishasura, Shumba and Nishumba, I will likewise protect. Those who do the hymns, those who tell the story. Those who listen with devotion and concentration to the sublime hymn, that's you. Right, about my greatness on the 8th, 14th, or 9th days of the lunar fortnight, that's also today, the 9th day, no wrong shall befall them, nor any misfortune arising from wrong actions, nor poverty, nor separation from loved ones. That person shall not experience fear from enemy, thieves, kings, weapons, fire, or flood. This hymn of my greatness must be chanted by those with concentrated minds and always heard with devotion. For this is the path to the supreme goal. May this hymn of my greatness, the great destroyer of all disturbances, pacify all suffering and from epidemics and the threefold natural sufferings. My sanctuary, that means my temple, my tirtha, right, is a place where this hymn is chanted daily. I will never leave such a place. Whenever sacrifices are performed during worship services, fire ceremonies, or great festivals like Navaratri, this entire hymn of my glorious deeds must be chanted and heard. I will then accept with love the sacrifice, worship, and offering to the sacred fire, whether or not they are performed with proper knowledge. I love this verse because we're doing so many mantras, but we don't know what we do not have proper knowledge. I'm explaining who has proper knowledge of these pujas, actually. But by meditating on these hymns, she says, I consider it complete. When the great worship is yearly performed during this autumn season, this Navaratri, this hymn of my glory should be heard with devotion and full attention. Through my grace, all will be delivered from the troubles and blessed with prosperity, food and offsprings. Hearing this hymn about my glories, auspicious manifestations and feats of power in battle, people become fearless. Enemies will perish, welfare will be gained, and the family will rejoice for those who hear this hymn of my praise. Let my glories be heard everywhere during ceremonies for peace, upon waking from a bad dream, or during the time of greatly malignant influences of planets. By this, trouble will subside. The unfavorable influence of planets will be removed, and bad dreams will turn into good dreams. It pacifies children possessed by evil spirits, and it brings friendship to those whose relationships have broken. It destroys the strains of all evildoers. Its chanting destroys demons, ghosts, and ungodly spirits. This entire hymn of my glories draws a devotee very, very close to me. The satisfaction I get by being worshipped day and night for a year with the gifting of cows, the offering of flowers, argyas, perfumes, and lamps, by the feeding of the brahmanas, by ablations in the fire, by the sprinkling of water and the offerings of gifts, the same satisfaction you can give me by hearing this hymn just once. That you've done. The chanting and hearing of this hymn of my manifestation removes sins and grants perfect health and protects one from evil spirits. When my martial deeds in killing the wicked demons is heard, you will not have any fear from your enemies. This hymn chanted by you, those chanted by the sages, and those chanted by Brahma, grant one a holy mind. One lost in a desolate forest, surrounded by fire, encircled by thieves in a lonely place, captured by enemies, chased by lions, tigers, and wild elephants in the forest, imprisoned, sentenced to death by an angry king, tossed about in a boat by a storm in the vast ocean, in the midst of a terrible battle under a shower of weapons, amidst all kinds of dreadful problems, or afflicted with pain. By remembering the story of mine, one is saved from all these troubles. Every year when I read that line, I think all those describe like our daily life in this world, you know. Through my power, lions, thieves, and enemies flee one who remember this divine story. By remembering this story of mine, one is saved from all trouble. Through my power, lions, thieves, and enemies flee, and flee one who remembers this divine story. The sage Madhus continues, having spoken thus, the worshipable Chandika of fierce prowess disappeared on that very spot as the gods looked on. The enemies being killed, the gods were delivered from fear. All of them resumed their own duties as before and received their share of the sacrifice. We mentioned when Shumba and Nishumba took over, they stole all the offerings of the gods, right? We mentioned that when you say Om Namah Shivaya Swaha, the ghee goes into Shumba and Nishumba's mouth. When you go Indraya Swaha, Agnaya Swaha, it goes into Shumbha, Nishumbha's mouth. This is, the ego is taking everything, right? So also in our sadhana becomes like this. We do all kinds of prayers. We do japa, we do yoga for our benefit, right? We're trying to take the benefit that's meant for the devas, right? So at this point, again, the gods are getting their share of the sacrifice, right? Everything's restored to its proper place, proper way. When the greatly heroic demon Shumbha and the greatest enemy of the gods, the afflicter of the world, and the fierce demon Nishumbha of unparalleled power had been killed by the goddess, the remaining demons again entered the underworld. When their head demons were killed, the other demons, they went back to the hellish world. We mentioned that a little bit last night, right? Those shaktis, they go back to their proper place. In our unconscious mind, we need certain forces that keep us animated, to keep us, to protect our family, to protect our children, to be successful in this world. The problem is when they take over. When they become Indra, that's the problem. So now they're in their proper place once again. O King, the adorable goddess, although eternal, incarnates again and again for the protection of the world. By her, this universe is deluded, and it is she who creates the universe. When worshipped, she bestows supreme knowledge as well as prosperity. Right? So remember, who's talking? It's Medas talking to Surata the king and Samadhi the merchant. Right? So king, if you know, remember the story of the king, he lost his kingdom and was forced into the forest. And the merchant, his family rejected him and threw him out. And he also was in the forest. And they were talking amongst themselves in this forest ashram of the sage. He says, the very things that cause us suffering, I'm still attached, my family has rejected me, I'm still worried about them. Right? I've lost my kingdom and still I'm thinking what's going on in my kingdom, who's spending my money, who's protecting my elephant, like this, right? So that's the real issue. What is it that deludes us? So they go to the sage Medas and he's saying, what was his answer? Mahamaya. This whole story is describing Mahamaya, right? So now he's summarizing to the king. His whole world is pervaded by her shakti. His whole universe is deluded by her, and she creates this universe. She who creates this universe. But when worshipped, she bestows supreme knowledge as well as prosperity. She gives both mukti, right? That's that paramagyan, paramatma, and bukti, as well as enjoyment, right? Bukti mukti pradayini, right? What one mantra says, right? According to what you need, what you want. Not everybody's the same. In one sense, we're all the same, right? We're all her. Her shakti is there. But she manifested differently for a purpose. We can't deny the manifestation, because then we can't say, since we're all the same, therefore our differences don't matter. Our differences shouldn't cause conflict, but they do matter. We're different for a purpose. God created a multifarious, thank you, it's a good word, multifarious universe, a universe of variety. And that variety is called us. And everything we see, right? So everybody has different goals and different stages of development, right? And so all those goals, see, we have dharma, kama, artha, moksha, bhakti, mukti, mukti, all these things, right? According to our tendencies, according to our stage of development, worshipping the Divine Mother gives everything, right? In the Gita, Krishna says in the third chapter, he says, actually, if you want to be happy even in this world, then you do it, do your part in this world properly. Do your dharma in this world, right? Worship the gods, give to the ancestors, serve humanity, and whatever you have left, fully enjoy, right? Was that whatever, after doing your duty to the world, doing your duty as a member of your family and society and a rishi family and like that, then whatever you have left, then fully enjoy. That's legitimate enjoyment. There's nothing wrong, right? But when you try to enjoy instead of everybody else, right, that becomes like eating a plate of a plate of sin. Instead of eating food, you eat a plate of sin. We also, like, you can say, we're offering everything to God, right? We bring here and we call that prashad. What's the difference, right? It's like we offer to God and God takes it and it's gone. I mean, we throw a little bit in the fire. We're careful what we throw in the fire, though, not the good stuff. The good stuff we leave out, right? Right, but what is that? Actually, what it is, I mean, you offer it to God. I mean, not just you; everybody gets to enjoy, and it's prashad. It changes, right? Where Krishna says that otherwise, if you just eat a plate of food for your own enjoyment, not thinking of your family, not thinking of society, not thinking of animals, not thinking of the rishis, not thinking of the ancestors, right? That plate has become, it says, the plate of sin. And then what's the other line that Krishna says? And you are a thief. A person is stealing the same plate of food, right? And then Srila Prabhupada, the Hare Krishna Guru, in his commentary had a great line, right? Because by the one line calls you a thief, the other calls you a sinner. Plate of sin. He says, and how can one be happy if one is both a sinner and a thief? He says, factually, it's not possible, right? But the solution is easy, right? Do your duty according to your tendencies with consciousness that it's coming from the Divine Mother. Offer everything back in service and enjoy your life, right? And according to what you want, enjoying your life could be enjoy family, enjoy prosperity, enjoy pleasures of the world. Enjoy art. Enjoyment could also be enjoy bhakti, enjoy mukti, right? According to your tendency. Some people don't want everything. Not everybody wants mukti, not everybody wants bhakti, right? According to what you want. O King, the adorable goddess, although eternal, when worshipped, she bestows supreme knowledge as well as prosperity. O King, by Mahakali, who takes the form of the great destroyer at the end of time, is this cosmic creation pervaded. She indeed takes the form of the great destroyer as a great destroyer at the proper time. Although unborn, she indeed becomes this creation. She is herself the eternal one who sustains all beings. In times of fortune, she is known as Lakshmi, who gives prosperity to our homes. In times of misfortune, she is known as Alakshmi, who brings about our ruin. Woe for her. When praised and worshipped with flowers, incense, and perfumes, she bestows wealth, offspring, a righteous mind, and a prosperous life. Thus ends the 12th chapter entitled Declaration of Fruits, found at Devi Mahatmyam of the Markandeya Purana, spoken when Sabrani was Manu. Final chapter. Chapter 13, Meditation on Shiva Devi. You are as beautiful as the sunrise, with four hands and three eyes. You hold in your hands net, curved sword, namudras granting boons and fearlessness. To you, Shiva, we worship. Om, the sage continues. I have now narrated to you, O King, this sublime hymn, the glory of the goddess. The goddess is endowed with such royal power. By her, this world is upheld. Knowledge comes from her, the elusive power of Vishnu. It is by her that this merchant and men of discrimination are deluded. Others were deluded in the past, and others will be so deluded in the future. O great king, take refuge in her, the supreme goddess. When worshipped, she bestows enjoyment, heaven, and final liberation. Again, the same point, when worshipped, right? So Sri Ramakrishna said, this Mahamaya, we cannot fight. Right, to fight Maya is impossible. She will win. She is the Divine Mother. Right? And nobody's ever, and there's never a story where somebody's defeated the Divine Mother in battle. Right? So many, I mean, this is not, we told, you can read Devi Bhagavat, right? 18,000. This is 700 verses. You can read 18,000 verses describing the battles where one by one people are defeated by Mahamaya. Either demons or great sages who also think by their austerity they can overcome Maya. Impossible. They always get deluded. Devi Bhagavatam is not like Srimad Bhagavatam, where the sages look good. In Devi Bhagavatam, even the sages think, you know, I'm a very powerful yogi. I'm the greatest. I'm the son of Brahma. I'm the guru of all the Kumaras. Like he's like this, and some girl walked by with jingling ankle bells, and everything will be finished. Right? Why is that? Actually, it's very difficult. Even Sukadev, Vyasa,
kings have to be born.
Right? They don't look so good. Right, but why is it? Because the Devi Bhagavatam points out, by Mahamaya, everyone is deluded. Right, so Sri Ramakrishna says, since she can't be fought, and she can't be overcome, you can only be worshipped. Right, he says, worship Mahamaya. The way it's translated is, Mahamaya must be perpetuated. Right, it means the goddess must be worshipped. Right, she says, this world, Sri Ramakrishna says, this world is her creation. This is her world. No one gets out. She holds the key. If you want out of this world, only she has the key. Right. She'll tell you how to turn it. Actually, Sri Ramakrishna said there's a trick. It has to be turned the other direction. Right. What is that other direction? Yeah. We try to enjoy. Right? The other direction is renounce. But not renounce is run away. Right? Tiena tak tiena, it says Isha Upanishad. Right? And renounce and enjoy. By giving things up, all happiness comes. right? But giving up attachment, all happiness comes. Sri Ramakrishna is a great image. He says the same key, you already have the key, the key's in the lock. You just have to know the trick to turn the other direction. Rather than trying to control, trying to fire, to trying to dominate, like Mahisha thinking I shall steal her and make her my wife, you have to worship, right? With selflessly, right? Then the whole thing opens up. He says, no one can realize Brahman without her blessing, he says. She bestowed, the sage Markandeya then said, now Markandeya is further back, telling the frame story. Thus, having heard the words of the great sage who had performed great austerities, King Surata, upset due to his attachment to his kingdom and its loss, as well as a merchant, Samadhi, both bowed before him and retired to perform austerities. So what is all this, what are you supposed to take from this story? Right, you've heard, we've also been listening to sage Medus, our own subtle intelligence, being spoken through the text, at the end of which we bow to this divine intelligence, this ancient sage, and we go to do our sadhana, right? Surata, we mentioned Surata and Samadhi. These are two characters. Surata means good cart, right? Good vehicle, Surata. Right, and we mentioned that's dharmic behavior, good behavior, strong dharmic righteous behavior, and samadhi means that union with God, right? And so these are back to the first. Most people weren't here the very first night. The external and the internal goals of religion. Externally, you live dharmic life. Internally, you have union with God, right? So, Surata and Samadhi both go to do austerity. They both need the Divine Mother's blessings, both to enjoy in this world and do your work in this world, as well as to attain liberation in Samadhi. Both require her blessing. So they bow to the sage to go and to do tapas, to do their sadhana. Both the king and the merchant, in order to have the vision of Ambika, sat down upon the sandy bank of a river and practiced austerities by chanting the supreme hymn to the goddess, making an image of the goddess out of sand and mud from the river. This is what's done here, everything. We make this out of mud and clay and grasses, right? These images are made in the same way. Making an image of the goddess out of sand and the river, they both worshipped her with flowers, incense, fire, and offerings of water. Sometime fasting from food and sometime taking only a limited amount of food. Like we do during our people fast, people take falhari, right? With their minds focused upon her with concentration, they offered sacrifice sprinkled with blood from their own bodies. They gave their whole life to it. Then after they had worshipped her with controlled minds for 3 years, Chandika, supporter of the world, became pleased with them and appeared before them and spoke. Devi Vacha. Goddess spoke, whatever you ask, O king, and you, O merchant, the delight of your family, receive it from me. That's a very sarcastic thing. His family gave him up, right? By saying, O Samadhi, the delight of your family. Samadhi has been kicked out by his family. The delight, he's reminding actually, what is that? It's saying, O righteous king, I mean, you're meant for, and O Samadhi, delight of your family, reminding him his family has thrown him out. That means happiness in this world is not, for him is not, he's already finished with his world. Samadhi's finished. Surata still has some enjoyment left, but Samadhi is finished. Reminding, whatever you ask, O king, and you, O merchant, the delight of your family, receive it from me. Being well pleased, I will give it to you both. Markandeya says, the king then chose a kingdom, imperishable even in another life, right? And in this life, the return of his own kingdom by the destruction of his enemy's armies. He wants his kingdom back, and after this kingdom, he wants another kingdom that won't be taken away like this, right? That's a real kshatriya. He's meant to be a ruler. He's born. He was created to be a ruler, right? That's his own karma. That's his. Actually, it's an interesting thing. One sadhu came here. And he's saying, you know, we think of, we have different karmas, right? But we're created with karmas. That's something that's in Vedas, right? Even at the very creation of the world, it says that the jivas, as the jivas come into existence, they have karma. That's the karma of the Lord's mind. So this soul was meant, destined to be a very great king, right? He had no choice. The king shall enter the kingdom and perish will even in another life and in this life to return of his own kingdom by the destruction of his enemy's armies. The wise merchant, with his mind full of dispassion for the world, then shows that knowledge that removes all attachment coming from the feeling of I and mine. Sheesh. Right? Means complete eradication of Shumba and Ishumba, I and mine. The goddess spoke, O king, your kingdom will be returned within a few days. After destroying your enemies, your reign will be firm and unbroken, unshaken. After your death, you will be born as a son of Vishvasvat, the sun god. You will then be the Manu named Savarni. That was the original question. How did Savarni become Manu, right? And you, O best of merchants, Samadhi, I grant you the boon you have asked from me. The supreme knowledge shall be yours for liberation. Markandeya continues, granting them both boons, the boons they desired, the goddess disappeared from their midst as they praised her with devotion. Receiving boons from the goddess, Surata, the foremost of Kshatriyas, shall be born as a son of Surya and shall be the eighth Manu named Savarni. He shall be the Manu named Savarni. Thus ends the 13th and final chapter entitled The Granting of Boons to Surata and Samadhi, found the Devi Mahatmyam or the Markandeya Purana, spoken one Savarni was Manu. Mahamai ki jai, Markandeya Rishi ki jai, Bhagavati Durga Devi ki jai.